Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
My name is Evie, and I'm here with
Caitlin
and William.
Oh.
I can't harmonize as beautifully as you can.
No, I can't either. It's fine.
Perfectly in key.
Yes.
Or a key, I suppose.
A key. Some kind of key. Might not be a good one, but it is a key.
It is a sound. It came out the mouth.
You're welcome.
The end. Anyway, yes. Speaking of humidity,
it's
quite humid
Send
today
help.
In Brisbane.
I am so happy, seriously.
Why, you're just sweating?
Because it's
the
warm,
is like,
the weather
dying.
Is nice. It's like, I can take a little sweat, alright? But it looks good, and
okay.
That's all I care about.
Well, I moved house, like, a couple of weekends ago, and I did not enjoy it.
Well, you know, would have been better in the rain. Think about it. Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
At least it's cooler when
everything
it's
would get wet.
Weather debate. We're on 4ZZZ.
Yeah. So I think we're swifting.
It sucks. No, it doesn't.
Let's switch our focus from games to just talking about the weather because we've been doing that pretty good.
We did this last week. We need to move forward.
Yes. No more weather, guys.
Weather-based
the weather's nice.
Games? Is that a thing?
That's
probably.
That's our new marketing logo, our marketing push.
When the weather is hell, doom?
Yeah, yes, that's a talking about something I've been enjoying thoroughly for the past 2 days.
Doom.
I've been playing Doom 2016, building myself up for Doom Eternal that drops in about a month. I haven't played a Doom since we did a assignment in school.
Yeah, me too.
The whole Doom,
which was like a year and a half ago.
But I jumped into it, and during for like 2 or 3 days, I think I have a couple, like almost 16 hours in the game already.
Not nice. Even surprised. It's uni student, like,
yeah.
I'm just going to play Doom.
Yeah. It is so school, good, right? Though. I'm not going to be giving away too much because I'm hoping to do a review for it soon.
Yay.
But it is a, let's say, a demon slaying experience.
I would hope so. It's kind of like. The only reason you play Doom
the experience
is to slay
things. Slaying, yes. You know, it's a slay. I was trying to. I'm not young and hip anymore. I'm getting old.
This says the 21-year-old.
Slay queen, slay them demons, Mr. Doom.
Yes, honey.
The Doom Slayer, yo.
I'm gonna make a sting out of that.
We're literally cooked from the humidity. Not just cooked.
Overcooked.
Our brains are overcooked.
I've been playing some of Overcooked.
That's a good game too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nat's addicted.
Skyrim.
Ah.
Skyrim.
I have no internet, and my housemate and I both had the overwhelming desire to play it yesterday. I was sitting at school. At work.
Flashback.
I was sitting at work thinking, man, I could play some Skyrim. So I did, and it's wonderful. It's still good.
So what race do you play as?
This time around, am being an orc. I made my D&D character because I'm a loser.
You know, I find it really weird, you know, when I roll up to work and I'm going to be chopping some heads and the person I'm about to chop the head off is just switching race like every half second.
Yeah.
It's really odd.
Very full on. And then they just all are like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, like, that's normal that he's jumping from being a lizard to human to Norse. It's just weird.
I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, so...
Skyrim.
You gotta play.
I did play a bit many years ago now that I don't really remember much, aside from I hate lockpicking with a passion.
There's a technique.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but I didn't seem to get it after, like, the 20 hours of playing, so I kind of just, like, spat the dummy. Anyway, so let's listen to some news.
Yeah.
This week in gaming news, Diablo and Overwatch may be getting an animated TV series. A post on LinkedIn from Activision's co-president Nick Van Dyke has revealed that Blizzard plans to adapt both Diablo and Overwatch, however nothing official has been released. Nick Van Dyke's profile also shows his work history, where it is listed that he's worked on both Diablo and Overwatch animation projects. It states him as being the executive producer of the anime-style TV adaptations and that it will be distributed worldwide through Netflix. Both these series make sense to line up with Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4, set to be released hopefully later in the year. However, no dates have been released. Speaking of animated TV series, Castlevania 3 on Netflix is set to release on the 3rd of March, and not long after confirming the release date, Netflix has released the first trailer. If you haven't seen the first two seasons, there are spoilers, so you've been warned. If you'd like to check out the trailer, check out the Zed Games Facebook page at ZEDGamesAU. Halo Combat Evolved, the very first Halo game, has started its closed beta testing on PC. If you have signed up to the Halo Insider program, you may have an email with instructions on how to start playing now. If not, it'll be too late to play. However, there is most likely going to be more playtests for Halo Combat Evolved and other Halo games. A sneak peek into what this closed beta features: four campaign missions, multiplayer matchmaking, custom game modes, and a sample of the customization options that will be in the final version of the game. Combat Evolved is the next in line for the Halo Master Chief Collection and is likely to come out on the anniversary of its original release date. The Sony PlayStation 5 could be the last gaming console ever. Both Sony and Microsoft are set to release their latest consoles this year. However, the cost is going to be much higher than previous generations. For Sony, it's been reported that it costs $450 US to manufacture, as per Bloomberg's estimates. With that said, it's looking somewhere between $500 and $600 US on release. There is speculation that this could be the end of the PlayStation era. Whereas Microsoft and its Xbox is already looking forward to a future without consoles, with its project xCloud, which is currently in the preview phase, allowing players to stream more than 50 Xbox games on Android phones and tablets with Wi-Fi or mobile data. Xbox very much intends on releasing more games to this platform. There are currently 3.5 billion smartphone users worldwide, with Microsoft, Amazon, and Google taking a punch at the cloud gaming space. This could very well be the end of the console gaming generation. That's all this week in gaming news.
Well, that kind of left on a sad note there.
Well,
no more games.
No more games.
No more consoles.
That's the end. We're done. So it's been really great, guys. And
yeah.
The world's run out of games.
It's been an honor talking about games and stuff here, but I guess we just have to stop now.
Yeah. You know all that money we spent on those degrees? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Hold on a second. Wait. Games are not being removed.
Just
a console.
Maybe. We don't know. It's speculation. It looks like, you know, Xbox, Amazon, Microsoft, basically. Google as well. Cloud gaming. Everyone's moving into these cloud.
Now.
Yeah, everyone's moving into this streaming service. Everyone's moving digital. If you've got solid internet, not Australia. you know, the gaming sphere opens up exponentially.
Yeah.
And you just pay subscriptions.
Yeah.
And then you never have to download anything again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, that's the future.
But I mean, I think that's just a positive thing, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It fixed up a lot of problems, you know, with the consoles and computers being different specs where, because, I mean,
you won't have to pay for high-end stuff
anymore. No, but it's also computer games are being held back in their what they can do because they have to make sure that the game is also runnable on PS5 or an Xbox and all that stuff.
That's true.
And that's something that's
from a developing perspective, yeah.
And, I mean, it also, to a degree, I mean, it's going to be saving us devs a whole lot of time if we're just building for a computer where people are buying things with or playing things with controllers on their computer. You know, it's
It's fantastic. I mean, it's disruption. That's how industries work. Things grow, things change. People don't like it. Yeah. Too bad, get over it.
But then I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be completely over. Like, there's still going to be a market for Switch.
I think it'll take at least 10 to 15 years before we have no use for hardware. Yeah. And it is all software and digital.
But, yeah.
I mean, I did a project on Google Stadia in school, like pitching why I believe this is the future. Mm-hmm. And I kind of came to the conclusion that it wasn't. But
well, Google Stadia is one thing.
But I did I did say that the technology is the future.
Yeah.
Mm. But it might not be Google Stadia pioneering this front, mm-hmm. but it definitely is going to be someone. And it's probably going to be a lot of them competing for it, because the reality is it's going to be a lot more cost effective. It's going to be faster to develop games. It's going to be faster to release games. Yeah. It's going to be faster for everyone. And given that the consumer environment is gimme, 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 that suits a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was squeaky.
Yeah.
You just have to look at, like, Netflix, Stan, all of the streaming services for TV movies these days to see, like, how that has taken off, how many different platforms there are, how successful it is. We still have, like, analog, well, not even analog, we have digital TV still.
Yeah.
That you can watch, like, in real time, but it's kind of the same thing. We don't have Blockbuster anymore.
Yeah.
Because Netflix came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe one day we will not have, we'll probably still have our consoles so that we can play our old games on them, but we might not have the physical console anymore.
Yeah. But also, the other thing is with storing games and the longevity of games, backing them up in places like, and then streaming those games as well. You can still relive those old experiences. Because this hardware, you know, all these PlayStations, Nintendos, so on, they don't live forever, and they stop manufacturing them at a certain point.
Yeah.
So those games and everything, the fact that we could store them in a software with a company that lives for basically ever, like Nintendo, for example.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the gaming time, Nintendo's been there. You know, if they had their own platform for their games that was permanently forever available, it means that you can relive that sort of stuff even without the consoles, which I like the idea of.
Yeah, you could have, like, backwards compatibility and stuff become much more accessible. Like, you know, things that you could only play on your old PlayStation 2 or something, you could suddenly just have a whole catalogue of them and not have to worry. Like, I'll just let you guys know, when I moved house recently, I bought my PlayStation 4 and 3 over. And my PlayStation 4 would not turn on.
Oh, no.
And it took me turning it upside and sort of shaking it a little bit and threatening to unscrew the back, and then it turned on. And now it's working again.
It's a little elbow grease.
But, you know, sketchy. I was very scared for, like, a solid day that my PlayStation 4 was dunzo and all the game files I had on there were gone. So, you know, I'm about it. Cloud system, there bring it on.
Yeah, of course.
But there is one thing that actually scares me a little bit with it, and we're already seeing it with Epic Games and Steam fighting over titles. What is going to happen if the streaming services, and the only way of getting the games is by playing it on a special streaming service,
like having to subscribe,
like Netflix and HBO.
Also like Netflix,
yeah, that's
right?
Yeah, but that's Netflix and HBO, and I know that a lot of us gamers out there, we are not a big fan of
not being able
to buy any game. Like, we don't want it like Netflix and HBO has.
That's true. And Google Stadia said, well, their response to a lot of people saying, why are you paying for a service and the game? Well, you're paying for the access. You're paying for the accessibility to play literally Assassin's Creed on your phone, on the bus, on your mobile data. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're paying for this unlimited access to something instantly.
That's not the problem. The problem is, what happens if you have, like, let's say three or four different services and one service says, you know what? If you are having your game on any of the other streaming services, you're not allowed on our platform. And that is one of the bigger ones, and they are going
to
be the only ones.
I don't think they're allowed to do that.
They are. I mean, it's just like Epic Games saying, you know.
But you can have multiple accounts. Like, I have Stan and Netflix.
Yeah, but still, that is more money being paid, and it's not as open source. It's like having an Epic Games account and a Steam account. That's okay, because it's free, so I don't mind. But if I have to pay $10 a month and then also pay $60 on one of the streaming, like, you know, it's like a Halo being exclusive for Xbox. No one's a really big fan of that.
Yeah.
Except the people who can afford it, and they don't care.
They'll have to have a giant games committee meeting.
I guess, I mean, if you think about, though, like PlayStation Plus, a lot of people don't have PS Plus, but with PlayStation Plus, they often do like free game promotions and stuff.
Yeah,
so
Epic Game Store.
I mean, they can do a lot of nice and cool things. I'm just saying that there's a big chance that they're going to be exclusivity deals.
Yeah.
And that is just going to divide up communities, and I'm not looking forward to that.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there, okay?
Yeah, so like,
that sounds good.
Right now, all that matters is Caitlin's PS4 is fine. She's still alive, that's the important thing.
She's still going. Thank God.
Going on, going strong.
Going, making
also,
this sound.
We've got them in the future, possibly the near future, we'll have Diablo and Overwatch TV series animated, potentially. Which makes sense. Wow. Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 are coming out probably this year, maybe early next year, not sure. But something's happening. Yeah. So, you know, the future is looking positive. I'm excited for Combat Evolved, Halo Combat Evolved.
So, yes.
You know, I'm pumped for this year and everything.
There is a lot of cool things coming. There's also like 40K, Warhammer 40K animations coming. Riot is working very hard on animations, and I would not be surprised if they come out making an animated series soon as well. There's a lot of... A lot of companies doing
sign up
animations
to Netflix, because that's the one I pay for. Yay! All right,
please. Hoping it goes, I just hope it goes to HBO now.
Wherever it goes, as long as I have access to it, it's all good.
A friend that has access to it.
Cool.
Hell yeah!
So we've got a pretty cool segment coming up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I've got some special guests in studio. I've got Jack and Mac in here today. They're local Brisbane devs. How you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, good. Hot.
Hot?
I got hit in the face with a wet brick when I walked outside this morning. That was just
Get right up on that. Get
right up
on the mic.
Kiss the mic. Oh, yeah.
Get nice and comfortable, eh?
Yeah, it's disgusting in Brisbane at the moment. We touched on that.
Yeah.
Aircon
today.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be right. We'll survive. I mean, it's not as hot as your latest game.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Well, you can say it's smoking, in fact.
It's on fire.
Yeah. So, ScoMo's Firefighting Arcade Adventure. Tell us what is this game, first of all?
This is, I don't know, I'd call it a protest.
Yeah.
And someone asked me, you know, why are you making this? I said, well, if I was a musician, I'd write a song. If I was a painter, I'd do a painting. But I make games. That's what I do. And that's what this is.
It's fantastic. We were just playing, Caitlin, Will and I were just playing this before the show today. And there is so much elements of, like, up you to ScoMo, but a lot of elements of ingenuity in terms of game design as well. So I love it. Especially, it's just really simple controls, the WASD or arrow keys to move, and then you fire thoughts and prayers as ScoMo.
Oh yeah,
at the fire.
The most
and
useful
doesn't
thing
do anything. Yeah, very clever. I also really liked that it's a 2D platformer, so everyone's pretty much familiar with that. Mm. What's the reason for the protest? What specifically for you? What's inspired it, really?
I turned on the news. we should probably introduce some voices. I'm Jack. I do programming and design stuff.
And I'm Macaulay. I do animation and drawing things.
Mm. So you guys work together on this project? Yeah.
Yeah. And I started out with a pretty bad-looking pixel art rendition. And I said, hey, Mac, have you got anything useful? And Mac said, yeah, why don't we put Scott Morrison's face in Scott Morrison's game?
Mm.
But to answer your question, it was just turning on the news week after week and watching the country get more dangerous, you know, as far as the fires go and the damage to the environment and stuff, and watching our illustrious leader let it burn.
Yeah.
And set that example.
So it's very personal to you, and it's... what have people thought about it when you said you were going to make this?
Well, a lot of people went, oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. But there was a lot of more interesting opinions. I think the main thing I had was people saying, well, why focus on one person? You know, there's a lot of people that are involved in the kind of disasters that have happened in the last 8 months, and a lot of blame to throw around as far as that game goes.
Yeah.
But I think the main focus here has been going, when you're a leader, when you're prime in the prime minister, you know, you set the example that everybody else follows, don't you?
Yeah.
So when something horrendous like this happens, when you've just gutted your entire firefighting budget in one of the most fire-prone countries on the planet, you need to respond appropriately. And when you respond by saying, nah, let them burn, then, set that precedent.
I feel like a lot of people nationwide can completely agree with the frustrations there.
Mm.
And I personally, like everyone was affected. From, you know, definitely, the bottom to the top of Australia, there was no one that wasn't hurt by what was happening, whether you have relatives or whether you just breathed in smoke for weeks on end. So, you know, I think what you've done and what you've created is both a small piece of, it's like a small piece of art that basically expresses what you were saying before we went on air. You know, like, if you're a musician, you make music. If, you know, I'd write a song about this, and you're a game designer, so you made a game about it, and that's really fantastic. But in terms of, have you had any family that's been like, oh, I don't know if I want you to make this?
Well, I had a couple, yes, but the same family members that showed reservation had their properties burnt out.
Right.
And that sort of definitely changed their mind. Not that that's a fun thing or a good thing to happen, but that's also fueled me to do it as well, you know?
Yeah.
It's been a very, I think the reasons behind this are very personal as well. They're not just looking at the whole place. They're looking at me and mine as well.
Yeah.
When I'm coming into that.
And what about you, Mac? What do you think about this? What you've created here?
I think it's important, like just from what's happened. It was surprising how still relevant it is. Like in the beginning, we were kind of like,
we were on a deadline. We were like, we need to get this out before it goes away.
Like,
but we underestimated
still going.
Our
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still fires burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we had how much rain, but now we have flooding, so...
Yeah. And people still don't believe in climate change kind of thing. It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
I think it was like a month in, we were like, oh no, we thought the fires were going to go out and like, what happened? Like, we thought the fires were going to go out and we thought that it was going to be, our game was going to be irrelevant. But no, like about after a month of still working on the game, Scott Morrison is still giving us content and we're like, nope, it's still relevant.
And this thing writes itself. I mean... There's text. Well, most of the text in it, you know, just comes straight from the mouth of the big man.
Yeah.
You know? Oh,
like,
yeah.
We don't have to write any witty, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
It just, it's just all direct quotes because that's all you need from some of the amazing stuff we've seen.
Yeah.
I really love on your Itch page where you can download it from, how you've said that it's got some bugs, but just like in the true fashion of the Prime Minister, I'm basically going on holidays.
I finished it 4 hours before getting on a plane, and I looked at it and went, no.
I mean, I have to say, it's a great example of like how you can save time on a lot of things, and then that being a core of the experience as well, because... Yeah. Playing the game, like, the simple part of it, for example, if I can spoil the game a little bit, when you're shooting the fire with the thoughts and prayers and not doing anything, it looks very much like, you know, oh, that's how it would look if a feature was not implemented necessarily, like you never implemented the hit the fire feature, but that's the point. And it becomes, the message there becomes really, really strong, and that's why I thought it was just beautiful. It really got the point across.
Was that an intended mechanic?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Scott Morrison.
Yeah.
Was it intended?
You're just like, wait a minute, that was intended?
No, you introduce your fire first, and obviously when players see their first thing that looks like a piece of opposition, they'll use whatever they have against it.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, obviously, if you've got jump and fire, you'll try both. If you jump on the fire, well, okay. You'll notice that doesn't work. So, of course, then that's explained later when you get a text saying no. Thoughts and prayers don't work on bushfires.
Mm. Yeah,
kind of important.
Which is love
it. I really
very
like
clever
because that, that's such a stereotypical response from our politicians and especially from Scott Morrison. And you know, his little trip to Hawaii and just being like, "Oh, my thoughts and prayers are with everybody back in Australia."
Forcefully giving people handshakes.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. It's infuriating. It's absolutely infuriating.
I was going to ask if
it's nice putting that bit of humour back into it.
We had a handshake mechanic.
Was there an awkward handshake moment in there?
So the handshake was. See, this is only something we worked on like in our spare time. You know,
Yeah, of course.
Both of us have jobs outside of, you know, making our own stuff. So by the time that the big handshakes were becoming, news, was sort of nearing the end of development and everything mechanically was locked in.
And again, we kept on getting more content from Scott that we
It's a gold mine. It's a gold mine, guys. Everybody got to get on this.
Into it. So, what are you going to do in the future with this? Are you going to make more game protests? Or?
That's a good question. I won't lie, I'm kind of sick of seeing that face.
Yeah.
And it is... aggravating to constantly be thinking about it, yeah, putting yourself in headspace of going, this is what's going on.
It was a weird time animating it, like just animating his dumb head, like jumping up and down, and just
the
like
bounce when he jumps, yeah, and stuff. Yeah,
it was fun doing that, but it was just making his head perfect and fitting in the thing. Yeah. I was a little bit uncomfortable with.
Spent a lot of hours staring,
yeah,
at that face.
Like, oh, this stupid face. Yeah.
The next project that I think we're working with an artist called Morris Black, who is in Boston, and he makes dark tech industrial sort of weird synth music. So we're going to take a break from, you know, political stuff for a little bit, just to get something nice. I want to make a game that just because I want to.
That's, yeah, you know, good. Yeah.
Not for any other reason. And then go back in. And the unfortunate,
I was going to say, the floods are still there. I mean, you could make another one, I mean, a sequel.
You could come back in 8 months, you could come back in 6 months or 4 years, and unfortunately, based on, you know, the track record,
yeah,
there'll still be something horrendous happening.
Yeah.
It'll probably be somebody different, but it'll be the same terrible shit. Yeah.
So where can we play ScoMo's Firefighting Arcade Adventure?
You can play it at...
Oh, here we go. He's already prepared earlier.
AJJMCC.ITCH.io/ScoMo.
Or you can pop in to the Zed Games Facebook page. There will be a direct link, and you can play in the browser, or you can download. I think you recommend downloading it. It's a little better.
Yeah.
I actually Googled ScoMo's Firefighting Arcade Adventure, and it was the first one that cropped up. So be sure to check that out. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I think
thank you guys.
So, yeah, we'll see you guys around.
Want to listen to more Zed Games? Check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which is at ZEDGamesAU, to get behind the scenes action,
sneak peeks into reviews, and of course, lots of memes.
Wow, those guys were great, huh?
It was amazing.
I
love the concept of like video games as a method of protest. Like, that is honestly sick. And you know, there are so many different forms of art.
Yeah.
And I think that video games definitely are one, and they don't often get considered as one. So it's cool to see some local devs who are, you know, putting stuff out there that has a political message.
Yeah.
Is also fun and funny, but, you know, has that more serious undertone.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. It's interesting. Life is just so strange, you know?
Life is strange.
Life is strange. We've actually been playing a lot of Life is Strange too. Tonight.
Yes.
But yeah, Caitlin.
Yes, this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
So, Life is Strange series has been around for ages, yeah? It's Square Enix. Weirdly enough, it always surprises me when I find out that Square Enix. But there's been one major game that's come out, Life is Strange, the first one, and Life is Strange 2 has been getting released episodically over the past year. The last episode came out in December 2019, and I have played the entire game twice.
Wow.
It's a pretty long game as well, right?
Yeah, it's decently long. So there's about this, I'm going to say 5 episodes. I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 5 episodes, and each of them playtime is about 4 hours, maybe a bit longer. So, you know, it's a decently sized game. It's very, like all the Life is Strange games, it's pretty emotionally intensive. So,
yeah.
What it is, it follows the story of two brothers. They are Latino American. Their dad is Mexican. Their mom is American. They live with their dad, his single dad. And one day, a horrible accident happens at their home, and they wind up going on the run, basically.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a spoiler. It happens pretty much straight away in the first episode. But the younger brother, Daniel, he has unknown kind of powers. He seems to project a telekinetic force, which he has no control over.
Yeah.
And the older brother, Sean, has to take responsibility for looking after Daniel and protecting him as they go on the run from the police. And anyone who might turn them in to the police.
That sounds heavy.
Is it branching heavy narrative?
It's branching narrative. So the choices you make, the responses you select, the way that you behave towards your brother and other people directly affect the outcome of the game. It's pretty linear in that the same sort of thing happens in each chapter, but you can get different outcomes, and the very end outcome, there's about four different outcomes, just depending on the way that you and Daniel, so you as Sean and Daniel interact, his relationship with you and his opinion of you, and whether or not you've encouraged him to use his powers or suppress his powers. Yeah, it's really interesting. So it is branching narrative, like the first Life is Strange game.
Right.
That's cool. That sounds really cool.
It's amazing. So the music is fantastic because it's a Life is Strange game.
Been playing it all night.
So good.
I'll probably be playing some more next week.
And for myself, the characters are so endearing. So the first Life is Strange game, I really struggled to connect to Max and Chloe. I don't know whether it was because they're sort of moody teenagers, you know, the world is against me, woe is me, I have no real problems sort of thing. Or if it was, I mean, they do have real problems. But
they do. They have
some pretty
problems.
Messed up stuff, but you know what I mean. Sean and Daniel are literally on the run from police accused of a double homicide, which they didn't do. And
right.
They deal with so much. They deal with racist people pretty much throughout, due to the fact that they are Latina, even though they live in America. They deal with very real, very current racial stereotypes.
So it's a very relevant present day. Yeah.
You know? So it's also a very political game as well, and the kind of statements it's trying to do as well.
But it tells the story from their perspective. So you get right in there and you see how unfair it is and how, you know, unfairly stereotyped they are just because of the way they look. They both were raised in America. They are trying to get to Mexico, to the place that their dad was born, so that they can try and live a life free from, you know, being arrested, persecution, all that sort of stuff.
It makes me think of Detroit Become Human to a certain extent.
Yeah, there's definitely elements. It's just, I feel like it's a lot less of a metaphorical racism and a more literal.
Yeah, like really trying to show it, trying to live it's really hard to say, but like trying to show and live the life that they're
experiencing. Yeah,
definitely.
Why play it two times?
To get the different outcomes.
Oh, okay. So you can actually have alternate endings based on your decisions.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
And different interactions with different characters and things like that as well. So my favorite chapter three, they wind up working on a pot farm.
Spoilers.
In California. They work on a pot farm and they just, you know, trimming, and they wind up with this real ragtag group of runaways, basically. Mm. So kids from all different walks of life that for whatever reason just don't fit into society. And so they travel together, they train hop, they, you know, make the best out of what they have, play guitar, sing songs, work on the weed farm. Travel around outside of that. And
living the dream.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, it's just, I don't know. Obviously, it's a pretty full-on situation because it's when it was still illegal in California. So, they're sort of, you know, illegal workers. But, just the different ways that you can interact with all the characters. They form completely different opinions of you depending on how you respond to things. You know, you can wind up with Sean making a really meaningful connection with a girl that he meets or with a guy that he meets.
Yeah.
It's just nice. I love games that give you the ability to choose the way that it comes out, you know, or see what making different decisions will get you. So when I play a game like that the first time through, I'll usually play it like based off of my own moral code. So I'll probably make some good decisions and try and get the best outcome for the characters.
Yeah, I'm always like, what's the morality here?
Right,
how
as opposed
I ruin
to like
the
being
situation?
An agent of chaos. You know?
And
how
then,
can I
ruin second
this?
Playthrough, I'll be like, agent of chaos, let's make things go badly.
Yeah.
How can I mess this kid up?
Because when I was playing Detroit Become Human, I was so determined to keep everyone alive and happy.
Exactly.
And like, I didn't want anything bad to happen.
Exactly.
And then I think when Ray was still in the show, he played that and he got like the worst possible ending the very first time he played through that. He was like, I don't know if I want to play this again because I'm so hurt. Like, it just, he made all the wrong decisions.
Invested. And that's what I love about this game is that Sean and Daniel, you get so emotionally invested. You know, like, Daniel, he is a little pain in the butt because he's like 9 years old and he doesn't understand what's going on. And you've got to try and sort of keep him happy and just try and raise this kid when Sean is only like a 16-year-old kid himself and he is struggling so much with everything. He understands the gravity of the situation and he has to sort of try and, I guess, help Daniel cope with it, but at the same time not overwhelm him with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
Yeah, and then Daniel has these powers that are developing as well that are directly linked to his emotions. So if he gets really angry or really upset...
So, and it's your job as a player, I guess, to sort of manage that and mitigate that.
Mm. Teach him how to either suppress it or teach him how to control it. And maybe encourage him to use it in some situations.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Sounds so like where can we play?
So I have played it on PS4, but it is also available on Steam.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm not sure. I think it may just be on those two platforms.
I'm pretty sure
it is. Yeah, it's Square Enix, so I'm pretty sure they only release those on there. But yeah, it's on both, and it's actually not too expensive, so jump on. You can buy the entire bundle as well, and there's a lot of different ways you can play it. You can play it just for the story. You can trophy hunt if you want. There's collectibles hidden all over the place, which is fun. It's a fantastic game, fantastic music, and yeah, I highly recommend it.
Cool.
I just have one question.
Yes.
Are you going to be playing it through a third time?
may or may not have started collectible mode.
There we go.
I'm trying to get the collectibles, but I'm not playing the whole game through. I'm just going to get the collectibles.
All right.
Yeah.
For now, play Skyrim for the 70th time.
Anyway, guys, it's the end of Zed Games, so it's been a really good episode today.
It's been fun.
We look forward to catching up again next week, but goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, guys. Thanks, see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU. See you next time.